Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Nancy Murdoch, and I'm really pleased that you're here to help us celebrate the launching of our very first show, Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform to host a one-hour internet talk show. Thank you, Alan, Shannon, Amy, John, and all the people behind the scenes who are doing their best to make our shows a success. I also want to thank Mandy and Bee for inviting me to join WGGM Network. I think it's going to be a fun ride. Since this is the first episode, and because you may not know much about me, I'm going to take a few extra minutes to tell you a little bit about the show and a bit about me before I introduce my special guest today and we get rocking and rolling into our topic of discussion. I created this show because so many people are searching for happiness and not finding the answers they need. In fact, there are over 5 million Google searches every month using the key phrase, "How do I find happiness?" Almost 170,000 searches per day. That's amazing. That means a lot of people are actively searching for happiness. And these statistics aren't even counting the people who have settled for less, the people who are in denial, or who gave up trying to find happiness entirely. I was actually going to call the show Mastering the Art of Happiness, but happiness is fleeting. Just like all emotions, it comes and goes. Whereas joyfulness is a state of being that goes way beyond happiness. It emanates from deep soul level and resonates throughout our entire being. When joyfulness is our primary vibration, we don't get caught up in the emotional roller coaster ride or the relationship rodeo of positive, negative emotions. They just become the spices we sprinkle on our lives. Sometimes we sprinkle on a little too much of one particular spice that ends up leaving a bad taste in our mouths. But that's okay, because underneath the happy, sad, angry, resentful, funny, or embarrassing spices that flavor our experiences, the main substance of our lives is love and joyfulness. This show is about providing you with knowledge, wisdom, and information to help you find that level of joy within yourself. So, a little bit about me. I'll reveal more each week, but for now, I'll tell you that I grew up in Motown during an era of racial riots, busing, political assassinations, the Beatles, Transcendental Meditation, Vietnam War, Watergate, the Cold War, Woodstock, Rosemary's Baby, and Peter Max, whose art clearly expressed the psychedelic craziness of a history wrought with turbulent change. But despite the revolution happening outside, my family life was happy, loving, and stable, and my creative endeavors were always supported and encouraged by my family. The nurturing environment where I grew up, like my home, my school, my neighborhood, my city, was a very fertile and safe place for me to express, learn, explore, and live my passions. I'm not saying I had an easy ride. Authority figures were constantly throwing obstacles my way every chance they got. And that was pretty often because I was a rebel with a cause very early in life. Apparently it runs in the female line of my family and has definitely carried on through my rebel daughters, Haley and Ariana, which is, that's great. Back then it was hard to call those authority figures anything but four-letter words. But even back then, I knew who I was and I was very connected to my spiritual essence at a young age. I came into this life's incarnation with a strong set of unshakable core values. That, coupled with the support of my parents, provided me with the opportunity to grow stronger and wiser from the challenges that came my way. But I also know what it's like to be deeply hurt, betrayed, lied to, taken for granted, used, abused, and mistreated. In other words, I went through all the experiences of life just like everybody else. I've suffered through depression, loneliness, fear, anxiety, illness, and the devastating pain that only comes to people who love really deeply. Somewhere along the way, I learned how to pick myself up again and again and again and again and again, and eventually I came out the other side. So the purpose of this radio show is to talk with people like me, experts in the field of life, who have been there, done that, and know how to help you move through it with the least amount of suffering. So if you want to know more about me or ask me a question, you can contact me at masteringtheartofjoyfulness.com. You can also email me at nancy@nancymurdoch.com, or you can look me up on Facebook. Any of those are great. All right. My guest today is an expert who's been there, done that, and has background, intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, and experience to awaken you to your true, authentic joyfulness. Reverend Rhonda Smith has been a practicing metaphysician and healing counselor for over 40 years. She's an astrologer, numerologist, teacher, and tarot reader. Her purpose is to assist you to become the powerful person you are as a physical manifestation of your soul. Rhonda has a coaching program which is individually designed for you to fully become and move through these powerful energies gracefully. If you want to understand your personal path and who you really are, Rhonda can be contacted at rhonda@theawakeningcenter.com, and she will give you all the assistance and information you need. I am deeply honored to have Reverend Rhonda Smith with me as my first guest, and it's not because of her experience or her wisdom. It's really because of the invisible, unspoken energy of support I felt when I was talking to Rhonda about this show. Yeah, she might not know this, though. For me, joining an established network that has a strong listener base, talking for a full 60 minutes, and taking callers' questions was venturing into potentially dangerous, uncharted territory that I didn't think I was really ready to enter. But I felt such warmth and support from Rhonda that my fears disappeared, and I'm just going for it. So, Rhonda, welcome. I am so honored and grateful to have you here with us today.
Well, thank you. I am grateful to be here and kick this thing off.
I would really love to have you tell us a little bit about your coaching program and how you help people awaken.
Okay. Well, the coaching, as I said, is individually designed because my belief is that this whole group consciousness is basically just a glorious tapestry. And every part of it has been becoming the fullness of their particular strand. And the whole thing is that the tapestry is not going to be beautiful if the individual strands within it are funky.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the whole idea. Help
you unfunk people?
Yeah, unfunk people. To get them to being and accepting, that's the big one, who they truly are. That they are soul in a bodysuit, even though we have spent millennia figuring out what the heck the bodysuit is, it's now time to stopping ourselves and limiting ourselves and becoming who we are so that as units within that greater whole, we can assist in really making the enlightened society, basically Star Trek society. You know?
What exactly do you mean by awaken? I think that's something that we've heard that word a lot. We've heard awakening and enlightenment, and you know, what does it really mean to somebody who may not even be aware that they're on their spiritual path yet? What does that mean?
Okay, first of all, everybody's on the spiritual path.
Right. Yes, but
because
not necessarily aware of it.
Yeah, your spirit. You can't be on any
right.
other path. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah. One of the things we have done in the process is shut things down. We've used our poor little physical egos to create all kinds of limitations, and they basically become habits. So now it's time to break those habits. And lots of stuff is coming up because there are habits you don't even know you got it. So all these things are coming up, and everybody are going, why is this coming up again? Well, it's coming up again because you didn't really resolve it the last time.
Right.
And being awake is simply becoming aware of who you are and what you are.
So what does even that mean, Rhonda? I mean, people are going to say, well, I already know who I am. I'm Nancy Murdoch, and I live here in Kincardine, and, you know, I do this job. So how much more is there to know?
That's the physical you. what you want to know and remember and reconnect to is who you really are, which is your spirit, not the physical manifestation. So, yeah, you can define yourself as a radio host and so on and so forth. Those are roles you play. They're not really you.
So how do I identify my spirit?
You identify your spirit through experiences, because that's why the spirit's here. We learn faster that way. So how do you respond? I didn't say react. I said respond to a situation. Is the situation, you know, we're in a physical world, situations are going to repeat themselves. You can tell that you're evolving and awakening more and more as you find yourself being aware that the last time this came up, I responded this way, usually an emotional reaction. And this time, I'm choosing to respond differently.
And so what's the difference between responding and reacting?
Reacting is that emotional knee-jerk reaction. You know, you meet somebody and you hate their guts and you have no idea why.
Go ahead. And responding to that would be, how would I respond differently than reacting?
Basically, remember Abraham Lincoln's quotation, "I don't like that man, I got to get to know him better."
No, haven't heard of that.
Yep.
But why would somebody who hates somebody want to get to know them better? I mean, the first impulse is move away.
Yeah, because if you are having that kind of reaction, okay, and it's emotional, ergo, it is probably distorted because, as you know, there is nothing reasonable about emotions. They just are. So if you're reacting that way, then it's pushing a button within you, more than likely one that you didn't realize you had. So working at understanding what motivated that reaction, you begin to understand yourself. Yeah, everybody goes on about the ancient schools. Well, there was one tenet in all the ancient schools. I know, because in past life I taught at them. It was know thyself. And we've worked real hard at not knowing ourselves. We've come up with all kinds of limitations defining ourselves. You know, years ago I had fun with people because I'd say, "Who are you?" And they'd say, "Oh, I'm a teacher, I'm a lawyer, I'm a this, I'm a that." And I would say to them, "That's a role you're playing. Who are you?" And I love the movie Avatar because when I see somebody, I see them. Yeah. Most people don't. They see the surface.
Right.
I mean,
you see the deeper level. You see their soul. Yeah.
Exactly. If you ask me what somebody looks like physically, now I have been working at this, but I'll have a great deal of difficulty describing that. You know, I can probably tell you whether they're taller or shorter than I am, or male or female. Any of the rest of it, I got to work at.
You know, Rhonda, I see people's soul too. Or no, I don't see it. I can feel their soul. I can. It's more of an intuitive knowing of it.
The other, yeah.
And you know, I guess that's the frustrating part for me when they're not living that deeper essence of who they are, which is why I do these shows and do my blog. And, you know, I want people to get to know themselves and to live out of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does your coaching, what do you do to help in your coaching program to help people awaken to their authentic self?
The trick is to make them conscious of it. The codicil to that is to learn to duck. Because when you tell people the truth of what you see, they'll either react, you know, negatively most of the time, or they'll go, gee, that's interesting. And that in and of itself tells you the level of maturation that they're at. And then you take it from there. I mean, I'm sure you have met people that when they talk on a certain subject, they all of a sudden look and act like a five-year-old. That is the level at which they perceived a trauma that prevented their future growth. So you start treating them like a five-year-old.
That's hard to do as an adult, to treat another adult as a five-year-old. It is for me.
No, it's not.
I know what you're saying. I totally know what you're saying. I've had to treat my daughters that way sometimes, and it just feels kind of wrong. But, you know, it's the thing that works.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, I've had six kids, and one of the things that I had to do, because these were all, you know, fool that I am, they were all masters, blah, blah, blah. They had IQs off the charts, you know, so on and so forth. So when they were little, I had to grow. And kids teach you a lot. And I had to, in every instance, say to myself, okay, am I talking to a three-year-old or a 36-year-old midget?
Yeah.
And that dictated how I responded.
Right. There was a time my daughter, she's 20, and she borrowed a belt of mine, which was no big deal, but I asked her for it back. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll bring it. And she never brought it, and I mean, it was a little silly little incident, but I wanted to wear it. And so I thought, okay, what is she thinking? How do I get into that mindset? So I thought, okay, I had bought her a little present, and I was just going to give it to her. It wasn't for the belt or anything. But I said, okay, I have a present for you. Bring my belt, and you can have the present. She was there that day. So I know exactly what you're saying. And today we're actually talking about awakening and creating an enlightened society and how relationships play into this mix. And we called it Relationship Rodeo because, as we all know, there are a lot of ups and downs, bumps and bangs, bruises, pain, and bullshit when we are in relationships and when we're not. And I don't just mean like the romantic partner relationships, like your kids and you and my daughters and me. I mean all relationships, parents, kids, bosses, coworkers, neighbors, friends, families, siblings, and the most important relationship of all, which is the one we have with ourselves and our divinity, which I know you agree to that. And, and Rhonda, I got bucked off the ball and took a lot of falls in the relationship rodeo game, as I know a lot of people did. I got so angry at the way men treated me that I wrote a book with a chapter devoted to each one of those men because they weren't around to tell them face to face. So I seriously laid it on them in the book. It started on a Mother's Day, and I ended it on a Mother's Day. And I tell you, it just poured out nonstop, 500 pages. It was very cathartic. I didn't really write it for them. I wrote it for me. I wrote it to them. And at the end, I thanked each one of them for the spiritual gifts I uncovered within myself because of the experiences I had with them. And the book is called To All the Men Who Made Me Cry, Thank You. And I feel we are really healed when we can truly say thank you.
Yep.
And because we're doing a relationship rodeo show, I'd like to play a two-minute excerpt from the book because it introduces so many of the points that we wanted to discuss today. So are you good with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me just play that here. Are you still waiting for that perfect twin soulmate to mysteriously operate into your life and fill your lonely void with excitement, happiness, and unconditional love? But instead, different partners wearing the same old issues keep showing up, leaving you disappointed and in despair of ever finding the fulfillment of your heart's desires? Yeah, I waited, wondered, hoped, and prayed too. But after living through an untold number of painful relationship traumas and dramas, I eventually realized there was no fairy godmother standing by to wave her magic wand and turn my ogres into princes, or abracadabra love to instantaneously land on my doorstep.
to all the men who made me cry, thank you, is an intimate and honest sharing of the sorrows, joys, failures, triumphs, and the personal transformation I underwent in order to create love in my life and embrace the fullness of who I am today. No longer did I want to be a butterfly banging up against a glass door, knowing I could fly, but unable to see the invisible barriers of my own making that were standing between the construct of who I thought I was and the truth of the limitless being I am. But I didn't know I was limitless, important, beautiful, and whole, because I allowed the men in my life to treat me like dirt, and only saw the broken parts of myself being mirrored back to me. So I bought all the What's Wrong With Me and How Do I Fix Me books, participated in every healing workshop and conference I could afford, and got back into the trenches with the demons of my shadow self until all that was left was light. It wasn't a pretty journey, and it certainly wasn't easy, because I often walked it with both eyes closed. But I swore no man was ever going to hurt me again, and persevered while trying to keep my heart open. That meant the only route I could travel in order to continue unfolding the deepest essence of my authentic being was the path towards greater love of myself and all that is. The obstacles on this path involved forgiving and loving the men who hurt me the worst, and myself. So that's what I did, and it was the magic that set me free. The same magical transformative energy is available to you within the pages of this book. May you be blessed with an incredibly enjoyable journey.
And I have to say, that book is utterly hilarious. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda. I'm glad you enjoyed it. This is a book that by the end of the 500 pages, I had worked through every trauma and drama that these men had brought into my life. So there was a lot of anger in that book. There was a lot of humor. There was a lot of anger. It was extremely cathartic, as I said. But the hopeful romantic, which I'm still a hopeful romantic, you know, I bought into that entire fairy tale. And that woman searched the world for love everywhere except inside herself. And the world is really full of hopeful romantics looking for the prince or their princess, but when they find each other, they manage to turn what could have been a beautiful fairy tale into a tragedy of monsters and ogres. What do you think about that, Rhonda? I see that you're back on here.
Yeah, I lost everything. I'm not sure what's going on. What I think about it is that fairy tales are wonderful. Our imagination is how we create, believe it or not, so get rid of all those limitations that you heard when a kid. You know, it's just your imagination. Well, that's your creation. And the whole thing is that I've been very fortunate in relationships. And the first step was knowing myself. And if you don't know yourself, every relationship you're going to get into is going to be something to help you know yourself.
It really is, isn't it? And I'm wondering, how can numerology help? I know it plays a role in all things in life. I don't know very much about it. I'd love to learn more. But I'd like to know how numerology could have helped me or these hopeful romantics who are still searching outside themselves for happiness. How can it help them find divinity within herself so that she doesn't make her prince responsible for her happiness?
Well, what happens is before you come in, you set up certain things. Now, numerology is numbers. Numbers are vibrations. Everything is a vibration. The physicists have finally admitted everything is energy. Right?
Yep.
So you set up a particular program internally of what kind of path you want to walk, what is your heart's desire for the whole thing, what kind of personality do you want to demonstrate to use as a tool to grow, what kind of tools do you bring in with you from your past experiences. And you just lay that all out in the inner relationship. Now, I'm sorry, but a full numerology chart has almost 100 different aspects in it. But what I mentioned is the core aspects on your natal chart, what you came in with. You get married, you change your name, you add another vibration to that dance. The thing is, with relationships, there are aspects for both the relationship with yourself as well as the relationship with another. And you can look at the coincidence or conflict that may exist. Now, the trick is to get to the point that you're awake and aware enough to realize that if there is a conflict, you chose it to grow. So resolve it.
Yeah. And numerology can help us do that?
Yeah, because, for example, say you've got a life path of one. All right? A lot of people and numerologists say, well, a life path of one, you're going to be alone, blah, 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 blah. No. One is ideas. It's beginnings. It's the fullness of you. And that life path, primarily, depending on the root of it, 28-10-1, you know, whatever, is 37-10-1. You know, each of those is about you.
So yes. How do we know what our life path number is? Do you add your full birthday together? Is it just your year, your day? How do we get that?
Well, it's your full birthday, month, day, and year. And then within that, you've got, it generates cycles, and, you know, you start your life path with your day of birth. And there's different, you know, aspects that spring from that. But that is where you begin.
And I've been curious. I think my number is 6, if I add everything together. I had a lot of 11s in my chart. And not in my chart, but in my... And I know that you're supposed to add everything all together, but I'm wondering, what do you do when you get to the 11? It's 11 and a 1, or 11 and a 2, isn't it?
Yes, 11 reduces to 2, but you don't reduce it. 11 is known as a master number. And 11 is the beginning of mastery. Mastery being, it comes after the 10. What is the 10? The physical you plus the soul you working together. So 11, like any initiation, it's a beginning. And then you got, you know, a 29-11, a 38-11. You go through the various stages of developing that 11. The 11 is known as a spiritual master messenger. It's the intuitive person. It's the one who actually listens when they tell themselves, you really don't want to do that. That kind of stuff. And that's what the 11's about. And if you carry a lot of 11s, you ask a question and it comes to you on the radio. Somebody says something, a book falls off the shelf. I can't tell you how many times I've been hit in the head with a book. Yeah, you know, those kinds of things happen. And your job is to first find the truth within you and then express it so that others know your truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-sided coin. You never fully understand anything. Going halfway into the forest is learning about it. The other halfway is teaching about it. And once you've done both, then you begin to understand. And that's what the whole thing is about. Yeah, you're getting the messages. Yeah.
So how many...
Go ahead.
So if we have our chart read, I mean, if say our parents were not in... did not believe in any of this stuff... So we had to wait till we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s to have a chart done for us. How many times do we have to have it done? Is it a yearly thing? Is it like you do a life chart and it's good once and you just follow it?
Well, it depends on what aspect of the numerology you're talking about, but there's always the basic core chart. It's only done once. It's called a natal chart. And it has your life path, your heart's desire, your personality, and your expression key, which is the tools that you brought in with you. And that whole thing is just the core of what you brought in. And then as you go along, you change your name, you add a vibration. You get married, you add a vibration. And then there are whole sections of numerology where you set up a chart, and every year you have a combination of vibrations from your first, middle, and last name that can affect you physically, spiritually, you know, emotionally, whatever. So you've got that whole chart thing going on that, by the way, takes forever to do. And, you know, it does vary. You have pinnacles. You have three pinnacles, but given longer life expectancy, I'm getting that there's going to be four soon. And those pinnacles are cycles where, for example, say your birth month is an eight. So your first pinnacle is going to be that eight, and it's going to be all about manifesting who you are first and then everything else later. Mm-hmm. And it goes on 26, 27 years. So you got a while to figure out who the heck you are.
And so what about for this princess who's looking for her prince and has never heard of astrology or just, you know, reads her sun sign in the daily paper or never heard of numerology? What can she do? What can we do to help the prince and the princesses in the world right now who keep searching outside themselves for love?
Well, the first thing you can do is help them to understand you can't find love outside yourself. You have to find it within yourself. And the thing that's so funny is, oh, well, I'm Christian and all that stuff is bad and evil and so on and so forth. Well, what do you think it says in the Bible? Love thy neighbor as thyself. You have to love yourself first.
And how do you love yourself? We've heard that so many times. You need to love yourself. You have to love yourself first. I don't think a lot of people really know what that means because it seems so vague. We think we already love ourselves. We do things that we love, so we must love ourselves.
No, we do things that satisfy us. If we really loved ourselves and we were 50 pounds overweight, we wouldn't keep eating ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Or smoking. Or drinking.
Or smoking or drinking or whatever. Okay?
Yeah. Or
really
looking to a
yourself.
Relationship to satisfy us.
Yeah. The thing is the satisfaction comes from within. And the churches and everything else over the millennia, including ourselves, have separated, as Jung would say, the little S self of physical from the big S self of soul. We did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In order to develop the physical. The thing is, it's time to break those habits.
Okay, so what about these people? There's a lot of people who have been deeply hurt in the past, and now they have great fear of ever loving again. What can people who are afraid of love but really, really want to be in an intimate relationship do to open themselves up to love again? I mean, I think that's, you know, that's really the somewhere that they need to start.
They need to start with loving themselves. It's that simple. What does that mean? Here's a good exercise. A lot of people have a lot of trouble with it. Every morning when you get up, look in the mirror, look yourself in the eye, and say, I love you. And mean it.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a goofy thing to do, you know, to stand there and do it. And, you know, I've tried that, and it's like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
It takes courage to stand there and look at me and say that. I can say it when I'm not looking in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
But it does. It takes practice. It's a little bit of strength there and vulnerability somehow or other.
And the beauty of it is that what it does is all of the stuff that you subconsciously owned, which isn't yours, for various and sundry, perfectly reasonable reasons, comes up to be sorted, to be transmuted.
And isn't that what this year's all about, too? Well, actually, the last several years have been about cleaning up our stuff. I want to go into that, but I need to take a quick little station break. So
okay.
Let's talk about that in just a couple minutes when we come back, okay?
Okie dokie.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark? I gave your eye a poke, think the dog is in the bedroom, I smell smoke. You and me, we never, ever, ever give up.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
You are listening to Mastering the Art of Joyfulness with Nancy Murdoch on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to our program.
All right, we are back, and I have Reverend Rhonda Smith with me today. So, Rhonda, let's carry on where we left off there. Years have numerology significance as well. So this is year 2013, so that's, let me figure this out, 4, 5, 6. We're in a six year,
but you have to understand, too, that what is significant is what's behind it. In numerology, the six is like the peppercorn, okay? But the rooting of that six tells you what kind of peppercorn it is. Is it, cayenne? Is it whatever? And so the rooting is very significant. And in this case, it's a 24-6, which is about 20 being balance between soul and physical. And that's how you approach things, looking for that balance. And then the 2, like I said, is the 20. The 4 is foundation. So what is going on? What is going on is you are looking for your own internal foundation. In other words, as they say these days, what makes your heart sing?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's your foundation. That's the real you.
And it has something to do with Libra, too. I'm not really versed in astrology, but I know that for the last couple of years, my sister and I have been really cleaning up our stuff. And we're into the, what is it, Saturn in Libra this time?
Yeah.
And which is really the balancing, isn't it? It's balancing of all things.
And yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, I'm seeing it in the political environment and the economic and personal. Everybody's stuff is coming up. I really felt bad for people who never cleaned up their stuff earlier. They got to be hit hard right now.
Yeah, they are. But it was their choice to wait this long. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we do the balancing? And foundation, what exactly does that mean? We're building a new foundation personally and globally?
Basically. The thing is, like, people want freedom, right?
Yeah.
However, they don't understand that freedom is a responsibility. It's a privilege. It is not a right. And so you have to get clear with yourself as to what is significant. What do you believe? You see, when we created this wonderful experiment that we're playing with, we set up certain guidelines, like the trees are going to be green, blah, blah, blah. Those particular things cannot be changed. Everything else is open to change, including your beliefs, your perspectives. That's your foundation.
Yeah. And how? And a lot of our foundation is really built on our core values, so it's, I think it's important to look at what's important to you, like you said, what's significant in your life, and then start living those values. Mm-hmm. And if they came from parents or ancestors or society and they are not in alignment with your authentic self, then it's time to really examine those and choose new values. Choose values that are really honoring of yourself and what you want in life. And I think that's the only way that we can really ever be of service to others in a way that is satisfying for us and for the world. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what brings us deep happiness, isn't it?
Oh, sure. And you have to understand that there has been a game going on for a very long time to which we have agreed to limit us. You know, we did it on purpose because we wanted to find out what it meant to be physical.
Yeah, I have a question for you on that. We have a caller, but we can take them after this question. How do we know that we are limitless beings when we feel so limited?
Let go of the feeling. You generated it. You choose it. You choose everything.
So feeling limited is a feeling.
Yeah, and it's your choice to feel that.
Yeah, it is. You know, every day I wake up and I choose how I want to feel. I've never thought of limitless or limited as being a feeling. Yesterday, I did a different radio show on being in love all the time, feeling of in love all the time. And it is. It's, you conjure whatever feelings you want. You express them throughout the day. You can be whatever feeling you want to be, so we can feel limitless. I'm going to try that one.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. People have to accept, in my opinion, that they are limitless. You know, some religious folks, you know, well, there's no reincarnation. So sorry, Charlie. You know, your soul is unlimited. You honestly think it's only going to take one crack at it?
Yeah.
Get real.
I'd hate to count the number of lifetimes we've been through. I mean, I know there's been a lot.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, it's a game, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Learn to play it better.
It is. And Rhonda, would you like to take a caller now?
Sure.
Okay. We've got a caller with a number 917 area code. Are you there?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Who is this we're speaking to?
Good morning. My name is Tina. Thank you for having your show. You guys are giving out a lot of information. Do I get a degree for all of this information?
You can listen to the recording again. So what's the question?
I'd like to know, what do you get from my relationship with my boyfriend, Louis?
Say that again. You'd like to know?
About my relationship with my boyfriend, Louis.
Okay.
I didn't hear that. You'd like to know what you can get.
You want to know what I get from her relationship with her boyfriend, Louis.
Okay, so you want a psychic reading kind of thing.
Yeah, I do that too. The thing is, the first thing you've got to do is figure out why you feel you have to ask that question. Because it comes from within you. If you are having problems with that relationship, then you need to examine and be honest with yourself about what's going on. What makes you ask that question? What makes you believe there's something going on? Okay? Because you know. And that's what everybody needs to do. You know, what is significant is, why the heck are you asking that question? If your relationship was fine, you wouldn't feel the need to ask that question. And to be perfectly honest, these days, you're the only one that can answer it.
I think what's also really important is communication. I find whenever I want to call a psychic out to ask a question about another person, it's like, okay, why am I not asking this person what's going on between us?
Exactly.
You know, why do I have to? And so there's a lot of, well, there's perhaps a little bit of fear within me, but there's actually a lack of communication between the two of us, whoever it is I'm wanting to ask about. And I think there's a little fear there if you know, the relationship is new, or you haven't discussed where you're going to go with it. And one of you has to actually say, hey, let's sit down and have a talk. It might be scary, but, you know, let's just feel this out and get things out in the open and see where do we both want to take it. Or, but I agree with you, Rhonda. It's like asking yourself first, what do I want from this? Who am I? What do I want from this relationship? Is this working out for me? What aspect of this is not clear, and why is that not working for me? You know, do you want to continue that? Do you want to give the person a chance and say, hey, look, this isn't happening. I'm not understanding this. So what's your thought on this, Gina?
Oh, that's correct. I mean, I just wanted to move forward as far as marriage. And the thing is that sometimes I think that people have different communication skills.
Yes.
So when you ask a person a question, or, you know, you have to leave it with them, and then after they process it, like, I'm an extrovert, so I'm going to talk, whereas he's a little more internal with the things. So instead of putting pressure on him, like, what do you, you know, where is this going? I want the answer right now. You know, I'm learning patience. So that's why I'm just calling to ask the question, you know, instead of saying, okay, well, you know what, he's not moving fast enough, let me stop talking to him. That might not be the case. You know, he may be processing things. So that's where I'm from. But, no, you guys are right in everything that you said.
Okay, now what you've got going on there, and thank you for that, because it does set me up for a beautiful example. You have to understand that when you're talking to someone about something, you know, we've got to have a talk. Yeah. The next thing that happens is their radar goes bonkers, okay?
And they're gone.
Yeah. So what you need to do is say, okay, I don't understand. What is going on is that when you do X, it makes me feel Y.
Yes.
And keep it there. This is what you're doing that makes me feel bonky. Now, my question to you is, why are you doing it? What you will understand as you go through this process and take away the fear by saying, okay, what's going on here? I don't understand. You're taking on your own issues, okay? And you're setting it up so that they understand that it's your own issues. Now, there's lots of little psychological things that can happen there. But the thing is, it takes away the threat.
Absolutely.
And it makes people more willing to talk about what the heck is going on.
Yeah, it's very confrontational to say, okay, let's have a talk. I need to know what's going on here. And usually that would be the way that I would want to approach it, because I'm just a direct person, but it's not going to get me the results that I want.
Yeah, but you know, like before, when we, you know, first started dating, I didn't really say anything. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're spending time, we're doing things, and I just assumed, and that's when I realized that we had different communication skills, you know, because you can be thinking something is one way, and someone else can be thinking something is another way. So that's
exactly.
Why I like, that's why, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, what do you mean? So,
yeah.
And I just think it's a gift, you know, that you can hear from the, you know, Holy Spirit or from God to allow you to, you know, not to intrude, but just to get an insight as to what's going on.
Well, you can get the insights yourself. And a lot of folks, you know, you've got these people that still have their own insecurities. Mm-hmm. And they want to be the guru and tell you how to fix it. And the thing is, nothing is broken. It doesn't need to be fixed.
Oh, okay.
It needs to be brought into balance.
So are you picking up anything from him?
No, and I won't pick up anything from him because to me it's unethical to read somebody without their permission.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm sorry. I know it will make you feel more secure if I told you he loves you and blah, blah, blah. However, those are questions you need to ask him.
Okay.
Okay? And needless to say, I don't win friends and influence people because the simple fact of the matter is that I'm not here to do that. I'm here to help you empower yourself, which is what it's about.
And Tina, you've pretty much, you're kind of doing that anyway. You've basically said that you have different communication skills. He's slower. He needs to digest things. So you really do already know what's going on. He's thinking about it. And
right.
you'll know when he comes to a decision. But like Rhonda said, it doesn't hurt just to kind of approach it in the way of ask him, you know, this is what I'm feeling about this. Can we, you know, have a little dialogue about it? And
mm-hmm.
She said it better than I did. But you already know.
Yep.
It
okay.
was actually the first thing you said when you called here. You know, he has a different way of processing things. You're more lightning speed, and he's a little bit slower, and that's great. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh,
you're
thank
welcome.
You for calling. That was great.
Okay. Yeah. Have a great day. Bye bye.
And you know, that's the whole thing is people have to understand that everybody processes things differently. Now, here's a good example, right? My husband had genius IQ. So do I. Big deal. And the thing is, it was really funny because he constantly was saying, how come you can figure it out faster than I can? Now, he processed quickly. I processed faster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just went with that. It wasn't a matter of comparing. It was a matter of, okay, she's going to get it first. Yeah.
And in Ayurveda, there's three different kinds of qualities of life, and that there's a vata, pitta, and kapha. And there's
mm-hmm.
each person, we all have a different mix of both of that. I'm not going to get into it too deeply here right now because we're running out of time. But one person can be, like he might be the kapha kind where he's slower at digesting things and like there's a heavier energy about it. There's nothing good, bad, or indifferent about any of this. It's all fine. But when we know the quality of the person, then we can kind of, and we know our quality, who we are, which again comes back to knowing yourself.
Right.
You can do the balancing act. There's a lot of ways to balance that, and she could actually keep herself busy right now, or do something. And there's foods you can eat. There's attitudes you can have. All kinds of things to help out in situations like this when there's a difference among people, which there is, right? There's a difference between everybody. And
well, that
it is,
was the purpose of this whole experiment.
To learn how to deal with differences and come out the other side loving everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, you talk astrologically. My husband was a Gemini, so was I. So am I. And everybody's going, oh, well, two Geminis, you know, you never could get along. Well, I'm sorry, but we had 15 years of getting along.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
He was killed in an accident, but we chose to get along.
Yes, that's the other thing. You have choice in everything, and we just have to keep remembering that. I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, Rhonda, I think we are running out of time. It says we only have 3 minutes left. So is there anything you want to add before I close here?
No, it's just, you know, folks, come on. You are a master. Start acting like it. Start accepting it. because that seems to be the barrier right now. People don't want to accept what they really are.
Mm-hmm. And we're all going to get there. It's not like there's any hurry. It's just, we'll get there. So, Rhonda, I really want to thank you for being my guest today, and you're absolutely right. It went really fast. I guess we did have an hour's worth to talk about, and that was really great. I'd love to have you come back on the show again and share more of your wise woman knowledge, because we barely skimmed the surface today.
Yeah.
For anyone who wants, go ahead.
I said, my pleasure.
I'd love it. I really would. And for anyone who would like to have a coaching session with Rhonda and have their numbers read or their astrology chart explained or just help in learning, getting to learn about themselves, you can contact Rhonda at rhonda@theawakeningcenter.com. And you can reach me at nancy@nancymurdoch.com. And the excerpt I read from today was from one of the books I wrote. It was my spiritual journey to awakening. The book is called To All the Men Who Made Me Cry, Thank You. If you're looking for love in all the wrong places and you want some real answers, this book is for you. It's available from my website at Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Join me again next week on Valentine's Day, my guest, Joanna Carmichael. And I have a really special show planned for you. And until then, I want to leave you with this quote by Yogananda. When man and woman genuinely and purely love one another, there is complete harmony between them in body, mind, and soul. When their love is expressed in its highest form, it results in perfect unity. So thank you very much, everybody who's been on the show. Thank you, Reverend B and the Psychic Radio Network. It was great to have you here. And Rhonda, it was truly an enlightened pleasure. Thank you very much.
And thank you. It was great fun.
Great. All righty. Till next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.